This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Live from the Illinois State Fair, I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's take a look at what's been happening in Chicago at the CME Group for this Friday afternoon. Throughout the day today on our program, we'll talk to some 4-H'ers here that have been showing their projects at the Orr Building on the fairgrounds. Wheat futures in Chicago were up 2.75 today at 5.06 on their settlement price. In the September contract, July for the day at 522.5 was unchanged. September corn at 364 and a quarter up a half, and December 375 and three quarters up a half. July 399 down a quarter of a cent. Soy complex, August beans down 15 today at $9.78. September at 925, 11 and a quarter lower, and November beans down 10 and three quarters for the day. They finished at 916 and a quarter. January at 921 and a quarter, 11 and a half lower. The March at 921 down 11, and May futures down 11 as well at 919 and three quarters. Bean meal on the day at 333.80, down 10.30, and the bean oil at 28.78, down 13 cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished at 148.72 and a half. They were 12 and a half cents lower. The August feeder cattle were 7.5 cents higher at 214.10. And lean hogs on the day were up 15 cents at $78.77.5. Taking a look at the outside markets at this hour, crude oil futures up 9 cents at 42.32. Ethanol futures about a penny and 2 cents higher at $1.47. The wholesale price of gasoline at $1.68.04, down 2.9. And diesel fuel at $1.55.1, a penny and 7 cents lower on the day. Natural gas at $2.80.3, a penny and 6 cents higher. The rest of the outside markets show us in the financials at this time. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,410, up 41 points. The U.S. dollar at 96.535, that's up 0.074. And gold futures on the day traded at $1,111.25 per troy ounce. They were down $4.05. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're live from the Illinois State Fair in Springfield. Stay with us. We'll talk with some 4-H'ers and, of course, we'll update what's been happening in the commodity markets. Mike Zuzulo will be here in just 2 minutes.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Illinois State Fair live at the Orr Building, where they are now judging a fashion contest with those on stage making their own clothes. Part of the projects that are being displayed here in the Orr Building, there are many of them. If you get the opportunity to come out to the fair, you probably will go through all of the buildings that house many of the animals, the hogs, the beef cattle, the dairy cattle, all types of breeds of horses. The Orr Building is behind the Junior Livestock Building. Come into that building and you're likely to see throughout the show many different types of projects today. There are welding projects and video projects and a fashion show, woodworking projects and photography. The list goes on and on. 4-H'ers have been working all year, and this is the culmination of their year in 4-H. The projects that they do for the year, they've been judged, and they understand where they rank among their peers. We'll hear from them a bit later. Let's take a quick look at the weather forecast at this hour. Mostly sunny skies. Beautiful day here in Springfield outside in Champaign-Urbana. It is 85 degrees tonight. There we'll go to about through a low of 66 degrees with a few sprinkles, some patchy fog before 3 a.m. And tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers in the Urbana-Champaign area. That after 1 in the afternoon. Otherwise, mostly sunny and 86. Saturday night, clear and 68 degrees.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
Let's turn our attention directly to the commodity markets at this time. On the phone line is Mike Zuzlo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Mike, thanks for being with us today. Tell me about this last trading day of the week.
I think it was probably a little bit surprising, Todd, from a standpoint of the weekly close, because the feed grains, the wheat and the corn in particular, these wheat down only a nickel on the week, December corn down about 8 cents on the week, or about 2%. I think that's probably a little bit better than what we would have expected, given the bearishness of the USDA report, given the break in the Chinese currency, and the negative sentiment that really built up as soon as we got to the middle part of the week, and probably gives us a good idea that going into the crop report on Wednesday, especially for the corn and the wheat, that the trade had already priced in a very substantial increase. They probably were already trading close to a 1.8 billion bushel carryover, and also the importance of the macro factors on these feed grain prices had already put a discount or pushed the prices down before the USDA report came out. Now, on the beans, we're going to be down about 47 to 50 cents on the week, and that's indicative of the trade not expecting such a big increase in the yield, certainly not expecting the bigger reduction or the smaller reduction in harvested acres. So the fact is we have more harvested acres than we did last year in soybeans by about 400 to 500,000.
It tells me that the trade built all of the report into the one day's trade. They were down 60 cents on Wednesday with the release of the crop production report. Not a bad close, I suppose, all in all.
No, and I think the other thing that probably needs to be watched real closely now is we did hold those mid-June lows. We went through them in the corn market the day of the report, but closed back up above them. I would say that if the crop conditions and the weather don't support adding risk premium, in other words, we don't get a pretty substantial reduction in good to excellent conditions, and the increased rainfall that shows up on today's midday models actually falls across Iowa and most of Illinois and most of Indiana, those two things don't happen. I think that the market probably could be ready for a retest of the those lows next week, and probably by, I would guess Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll be testing those lows pretty hard if we don't have any reason to add risk premium based upon the weather, the crop conditions.
How did corn close out the week?
Well, corn was going to be down about 8 cents or about 2% on the week. You still haven't done any major technical damage to the longer-term charts, and I think the corn was also helped quite a bit by the wheat market, and I think this is where it's back to being pulled down by beans and tried to be supported by the wheat. I think the monthly wheat chart is another big chart to watch as we get into the latter part of August, because we once again tested the 200-month moving average in that soft red complex and held that, and I think that probably encouraged some short covering on a technical level.
I suppose more concerning for the technicians is that it was a very large outside down week.
Exactly right. I mean, this is where you don't have any good technicals to stand on in the commodity complex as a whole, and you really are forming a major pennant, a major monthly chart pennant in the U.S. dollar, and that monthly chart pennant is going to probably break one way or the other by the time we get to about 30 days from now. I would say my charts would suggest by the time we get to the middle of September, you're going to have a break and a resumption of a trend one way or the other. You know, back on the corn fundamentals, I think one thing the trade probably doesn't really want to deal with quite yet, but something that may come back and help us later down the pike, and that is the fact that the total foreign production of corn went down 5.5 million tons. And had it not been for the 4 million ton increase for us in the United States, along with a significant build in old crop carryover that the USDA threw on top of the market for at least two, maybe 3 months in a row, we've seen about 10 million extra tons of old crop corn come onto the global marketplace. But had it not been for that, our production decline would have been a lot bigger on a world basis much bigger than the 1.5 million tons that USDA gave us. So you aren't, I don't think, drilling down into these numbers yet. And as I said this morning, you probably won't get into this type of mindset without weather helping you until we get closer to the harvest time period.
Mike, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us today.
Have a nice weekend.
You too. Mike Zuzlo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. Mark Sloysner is with us now. He's a state statistician located at the Illinois Department of Agriculture, which is on the state fairgrounds, somewhat nearly 300 acres, I think about 273, if I remember correctly. So a fairly large set of facilities, nearly 200 buildings, and one of those is the IDOA. It's where the state statisticians are located. Tell me very quickly about the crop progress reports. When those come in each week, are they subjective or objective? Do you have a list of items that are used each week to divine what the crop condition is like?
They are subjective reports, but they're coming from people that are experienced with agriculture, so we believe that's a helpful thing. We give some guidelines on the crop progress, the silking, the dent, the setting pods, and such like that. But beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I think that's the way it is with crop progress, with the condition of the report of the crops.
When you talk to your other statisticians in other parts of the Midwest, for instance in Minnesota, do you think that there is much of a difference, if this is subjective, for this year, for instance, that the Minnesota good to excellent crop, does that mean that it's in the same category for excellent that an Illinois crop in excellent condition might be?
I understand your question, haven't begun to research that. We may be somewhat influenced that last year in Illinois was the record high yield. We had 200 bushels per acre on corn and 56 bushels per acre on soybeans. So in comparison, almost anything is going to look a good deal worse than last year's record crop.
Mark, thank you so much for taking the time with us. Enjoy the state fair. I know it's a difficult time to get in and out of the office here at the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
You're very welcome, Todd.
Is here on the Closing Market Report for Friday afternoon. We are at the Orr Building, where 4-H'ers have been putting together the final items for their projects for the year, and we're joined now by the Pike County Fair Queen, Junior Fair Queen. Thank you so much for being with us, Chandler. Tell me what your name is and where you're from exactly.
My name is Chandler Hayden, and I am from Pike County, or Milton. Pike County in Milton.
Oh, in Milton, sure. Absolutely. So we're not here to talk about you being a fair queen, but about all the kinds of things you're capable of doing. You have a project here that, as it happens, I happened to post to my Twitter account, and I didn't know I was going to interview you today. You took a really great photo. It's up on my Twitter account, at Commodity Week right now. It is a still of an old man. Tell me about it.
Well, my photo is of my grandfather, and I've never really took photos of people, but this year I decided to step out of my comfort zone, and it turned out working for me.
What kind of camera did you use? How did you learn to take such good photos?
I used a Nikon D3100 digital camera, and I learned to take photos from my mom and my older brother.
What does it mean to be awarded here?
I think it's such a great honor because the 4-H system is, I don't know any other better system than the 4-H system, and just to get that award is just superb.
How long have you been a 4-H'er?
I've been a 4-H'er for 6 years.
So what other types of projects have you done in the past?
In the past, I have done cooking, and that is it. I like to stick to photography. I really find a passion in photography.
The judge, or one of the judges for that, many of our listeners will recognize, and 4-H is a volunteer youth organization operated by mostly volunteers and by U of I Extension. Daryl Holman, who is a former photographer for the News Gazette in Champaign-Urbana, now works with Illinois Public Media, was here. He happened to judge your photo today. He has a really good eye. If he said your photo was good, it was really good. I bet you're really proud to have that happen. Do you think that the things that you have done in 4-H will guide you in a career path later in life?
I've actually thought about this. I thought about being a photographer, but in all honesty, I really don't know until I get to that point in my life where I think I want to decide where I want to go in life.
Chandler, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. And congratulations on your winning your award today.
Thank you.
Of course, we're here at the Orr Center. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. And we are interviewing 4-H'ers. Judy Bingman is helping me out and has set down a new 4-H'er for me. Hi, how are you today? Tell me what your name is and what project you have.
My name is Natalie Plucker. My project was in visual arts, clay.
Oh, and you did clay. Tell me about it.
Well, it's a clay. It's supposed to, like, a clay statue of my cat, Percy. That's what I was inspired by.
So it was inspired by Percy. How long did it take you to do it, and where did you learn how to do it?
It took me about four weeks to do, and it was made at the Carbondale Craft Center at SIU.
Oh, sure. So you had some help. I mean, people were helping you design it and figure out how to work with the clay. How do you do it?
Well, you take slabs of clay and wrap it around a pole that's covered in newspaper, which burns up when you fire it. So it has to be hollow or it'll, like, shatter.
Oh, yeah. So you had to fire it, so you had to heat it up, and you had to make sure that the clay was correct. And through that project, what do you think you learned over the time of it? Can you do it by yourself now, do you suppose?
Yes, and it's really fun to do. It's just... It helps you get your stress out. It's very relaxing when you're... Yeah, it's just very relaxing doing clay.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you being with us. And good luck and congratulations. Did you win an award, by the way?
Hmm?
Did you win an award? Yes, you did.
Well, yep. I think everyone gets, like, one, but giving you, like,
yeah,
credit, but then I don't know who won. They haven't passed up the award yet.
Ah, so you're still waiting. Well, good luck. Congratulations. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. Marissa Zajac is here. Thank you, Marissa, for joining us. And it looks like, Marissa, you are a judge. What did you judge?
Oh, I'm a judge's assistant.
What does that mean?
I help out with the judges, and I get the projects all checked in. I bring them over to them, the judges.
Okay, so how did you get involved in that process?
I'm on the Illinois 4-H Youth Leadership Team, so we're here all week helping out with the fair and doing interviews for next year's incoming team.
And you are here this week. Where are you from?
I'm from Naperville area, Naperville, Illinois.
Oh, great. So how did you get involved in 4-H to begin with?
I started when I was 8 years old. I joined the club, a local community club.
All right, so most folks would think 4-H, they would think agriculture, they would think rural areas. However, you're from a suburb of Chicago.
There's a lot of different aspects to 4-H. I'm actually on the Teens as Teachers, and we help out in the community and do service and work with kids. So there are lots of different aspects to 4-H, actually.
Things like what?
Science projects, robotics, Teens as Teachers, and lots of other things besides the agriculture.
Tell me about the scope of projects that you've seen across the floor here today. So they're all what kinds of things?
There's lots of home ec projects in here. So things like I've seen woodworking, aerospace, entomology, vet science. I was working foods and nutrition this morning, visual arts, lots of different things. It's really awesome.
When you work foods and nutrition, what sorts of things do the judges look for? I mean, and I suspect there are categories.
Yes, there are lots of different categories, but the judges look for, like, the texture of the bread or the roll, the taste, obviously, the, like, density and, like, the way the bread breaks, actually. Even there are lots of different aspects. It's really interesting.
So that's interesting. Thank you so much, Marissa. Good luck, and thank you for volunteering, too.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Marissa Zajac here at the Orr Building in Urbana-Champaign, or in Springfield at the Illinois State Fair. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. If you've not ever come to the Illinois State Fair, you probably ought to put it on your list to do. And you can do that this week and next week. The fair runs through Sunday of next week. We are in the very first full day of the Illinois State Fair. Another 4-H'er is with us. Alex Miller from Hillsboro, Illinois, joins us. And she put together, I watched this a bit earlier since I'm a videographer part of the time for my living, a really good video program. First, Alex, how old are you?
I am 14.
So you edited the video, and it's gotten much easier over the years, but to have a very good eye and to put together a program that has a story is altogether different than simply shooting some video. What was the hardest part of writing and putting together a story for you?
Well, the hardest part for me was the fact that I based mine off of Japanese legends, and since I'm not Japanese, I wasn't very familiar with them, so I had to do a lot of research into the topic.
And what did you learn about the Japanese culture?
I learned that a lot of it is based around, although they have lots of gods, most of it is based off of the main sun goddess, Amaterasu. So I learned even their, flag, their national anthem, even the royalty and everything is based off of the goddess.
All right. So tell me about the story that you wrote. And how you came up with that idea.
So the story is about the young granddaughter of the sun goddess who is, going to be the, royalty. So her brothers rip off her kimono and she is, heartbroken from it and has to run off in the woods. She thinks she's going to run away, that nobody loves her, until her grandmother's magical mirror falls out of her kimono and she sees that her family loves her and that they're missing her, and she runs back home. And it ties in the traditional story of the sun goddess, how her brothers destroyed her things. She ran off, hid, and then she came back because she realized how much people love her. And it also incorporates the magic mirror, the magic sword, and the magic jewel that she all owns, that are legend that the royalty has. And I also incorporated the national anthem of Japan, which is an old song that has to do with the royalty anyway, so.
Did you put together a storyboard? What's called a storyboard for your program, meaning one shot followed by another shot followed by another shot. And how many pages was that long?
Well, what I did is I just made a normal document and wrote what I wanted, and then I would write underneath it a description of what the scene would be like or where I'd film it on my... yeah, I guess.
Everybody wins an award, right? That's what happens. It's what happens with 4-H, but it makes you feel good.
Yeah, you always know, that whatever you've done will be appreciated and that you get, a sense of accomplishment. Even if it really wasn't that good, you're going to get better by it and that it was good for your age and how much you know.
Well, thank you so much. Alex Miller is from Hillsboro, Illinois, and she was participating here in 4-H at the visual arts projects. She put together a really nice video, just one of the many things that you can see here at the Illinois State Fair. Remember, if you come out to the fairgrounds in Springfield, it's easy to get to. It's open all day, each and every day, for about the next 9 days. I'm at the Aura Center. We'll be back here again in just a couple of minutes. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Creamsicle Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1848, Congress created the Oregon Territory, an area encompassing present-day Oregon, Idaho, Washington, and parts of western Montana and Wyoming. The territory's rich agricultural resources were a magnet for a diverse group of immigrants and settlers. In 1873, the first issue of Forest and Stream was published. The oversized 16-by-11-inch publication featured many articles early on by George Sears that made popular canoeing and environmentalism. The magazine merged with Field and Stream in 1930. In 1941, Paul Sabatier died, an organic chemist. His work led to the development of the margarine, oil, hydrogenation, and synthetic methanol industries. And in 2003, the largest power blackout in U.S. history swept across Ohio, Michigan, and Canada, and then spread to Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York, leaving 50 million people without electricity for 24 hours and longer. Billions of dollars were lost in revenue. And that's this day in agricultural history.
University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason coming to you live from the Illinois State Fair and the Orr Building here. We've been talking about 4-H projects, and normally we think about agricultural projects, but these are projects that all kids of all ages are capable of doing. I'm in the Orr Building, and there's photography, visual arts. Up on stage as we began our program today, there was a fashion show. I'm going to make the assumption that that show was done with kids who had sewn their own outfits. There was furniture. There were folks that had put together, I didn't see small engines, but I did see, and small engines are here, but I also saw welding projects. So Judy Bingman is here. She is the superintendent of the show. What is this show called?
The 4-H General Project Show of the Illinois State Fair allows our 4-H members to have a mastery experience to show a culmination of what they've worked on all year long. They've already been selected as the best in their county, and they come here for one last visit with a professional in the area who then offers them suggestions, gives them praise. It is their one last hurrah for the year, and it is a wonderful celebration.
So the professionals are judges like Daryl Holman, who is a photographer, and Judy Taylor. Judy, you're a professional in what area?
I was an extension educator prior to retiring.
And so you're here to judge which projects?
I'm judging citizenship today. I've done leadership in the past, and so those are the things that I've done in the recent past.
Were those folks up on stage earlier, do they have to give, what do they do for citizenship?
I didn't hear.
What do they do for citizenship?
For citizenship, there are three levels. The first level, they learn about themselves. And then once you've learned about yourself, then you know what is fun for you to give back to the community. So, you know, if I really like pets, I'm going to volunteer at the animal shelter. And then the third phase has to do with business, government, those type of things, and getting involved in your community in those ways.
So 4-H is a truly wide breadth program for young people, age what, 8 to 18 if I remember correctly, and it's one of the largest or the largest on the planet. You're involved in it as a volunteer. You're involved putting this program together. Is it satisfying to you to watch these young people grow and expand their talents?
You must be reading my mind, because there is so much work that goes involved, that's involved in preparing for this kind of show, that sometimes you lose sight on what really matters. And then those doors open at 8 o'clock, and you see these magnificent young people come in with just extraordinary talent. And you go, okay, this is why I've done this for 30 years. This is why it matters. We reach all kinds of young people, and our effort this year is to expand farther into those areas, those young people who have yet to hear what's 4-H.
Right. Folks can join their local 4-H club. They can look up their local extension office and find out where those clubs are. Many clubs are actually put together surrounding a particular project. So there are horse clubs or photography clubs. Call your local extension office to find out more. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, live from the Illinois State Fairgrounds. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Commodity Week is up next.